My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, featured artist Friday, is chosen by you, the people. It's Heart, Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. Anything you want to hear from them, send your song request, Plaza Sport text line, 410-583-1057. Orioles in Oakland tonight, taking on the A's. BBT brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, Tim Barbalace, Mike Bordick, coming up at 6. Orioles take 2 out of 3 in Seattle. By the way, Mike Bordick will be joining us at 11:30, but we got plenty to get into with the Ravens as we're 8 days away from rookies reporting to one winning drive, then the 15th, I believe it is, Vinny, the quarterbacks and injured veterans, then everybody on the 20th, and then the 21st, which according to my GED math is 16 days away. Start of training camp 2024, here to talk about that and more from the Baltimore Banner. Let's welcome back, as we do every Friday, Jonas Schaefer. Jonas, good morning. What's up?
Morning, guys. I'm glad you guys have plenty of Ravens stuff to talk about, because I'm fresh out.
Well, that's why you're here. All right, bros. Let's get to Deonte Hardy, who we haven't really talked much about because he really wasn't around much during minicamp and OTAs. And I know he had some personal issues to deal with, but he's a Baltimore native, which always gives him front-of-the-line status. Coming over from Buffalo by way of New Orleans, we know the backstory, Curly, et cetera, et cetera. His role anticipated in 24 for Baltimore is going to be what?
This whole kickoff situation is just such a mystery box, guys. I mean, when I did a roster projection like 2 weeks ago for the 53, I excluded him just because I didn't know what to expect. I mean that was his meal ticket to the 53 under the old rules, but now I just don't know what kind of prototype the Ravens are looking for. I don't know, who might be up, who might be down with all that. So, and frankly, like the past 2 years of his receiver production haven't been enough to say that, like, even if he's only an okay returner, that plus what he can do on offense would be enough to guarantee him a spot. So, it's tough to say. It's tough to know exactly how that whole situation is going to unfold, not just on the kickoffs things, but on the kickoff returns. So, obviously he's been an exciting returner, but I don't think he's been, you know, upper 30% in the league the last couple of years. So we'll see. My colleague Gianna Hahn did a really nice job featuring him. Story went up yesterday. Obviously, if you were just looking for a good time, I would suggest looking at his college highlights, him at Assumption. It is just the most adult versus kid level, you know, joke level highlights you could possibly imagine. But I really don't know, you know, what he's going to be in Baltimore, because we just haven't had eyes on him.
Hey, Jonas, what we're going to do later in the show, we're going to go over the starting defense. Now, when I look at the starting defense, Jonas, my projected starting defense, there's three non-starters, you know, Clowney, Queen, and Stone. Who is the one that they're going to miss the most?
Man, I would probably say Clowney, just because it is very, very tough to find athletic, you know, pass rushers, double-digit sack guys who can also defend the run pretty well. I mean, you know, obviously, if this were Clowney 5 years ago, he would have been getting more than $10 million a year, and he probably would have broken the bank. But I just think that, you know, you have Roquan Smith to be the kind of force multiplier at that inside linebacker spot for whoever's playing next to him. At safety, I mean, this team has so much depth, and I don't think it's that difficult to find a good, you know, number three safety, as long as you're not asking him to be kind of Ed Reed, center fielder type dude. But, I mean, there's a reason that, you know, any guys who have even a whiff of being a lead, you know, first round pick at that passenger spot don't last until day two. You know, so someone like Chop Robinson, who didn't have a whole lot of sack production at Penn State before, was an athletic freak, you know, went in the first round in Miami. I just think it's really, really, really tough to find guys who are built like a Jadeveon Clowney. And maybe it doesn't matter, because what the Ravens can do schematically to free up guys for one-on-ones or just straight up baffle, you know, offensive lines with their simulated pressures and their, you know, everything they do defensively will kind of overtake that. But he was just so impressive last year in so many key spots. And I don't know if the Ravens have an obvious replacement for him, even though Odafe Oweh has a lot of those same physical traits.
All right, Jonas, your expectations for Marlon Humphrey for this season?
You know, I've actually been meaning to kind of dig into the film, Benny, and just kind of look at where he was good, where he was bad last year.
Miami, you can pull that one out. He was bad.
The Rams.
Or the Rams, I mean. Rams, that's the one. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my thing is, like, I'm just curious to see how many of those big completions he allowed were, I don't want to say unlucky, but like him having good coverage but still allowing stuff. I mean, you know, it's not like the touchdown that he gave up to George Pickens against Pittsburgh. He was just completely toasted. It was, he thought he was in good position, and then boom, there comes that go ball in behind him. And then, you know, there's the long pass to Cooper Kupp, to your point, Vinny, like on that crossing pattern where it is just Matthew Stafford probably having like a 20% chance of completing that pass in the fourth quarter, and he just sticks it on him or I think it was Puka Nacua brings it in. So, you know, there was a PFF article that came out, I think last week, that said that like he had one of the lowest, Marlon did, one of the lowest, you know, open target rates in the NFL, which is really, really surprising, honestly, considering just how poorly I think we all regard his season. But, you know, he himself has said that he didn't have a good season last year. So I don't know if he's being overly hard on himself or what, but I am curious just to kind of dig into the film and see if all the injury limitations that he had last year manifested in ways where, wow, it's a surprise that, you know, teams didn't go after him more often.
With Marlon only playing 10 games last year too, Jonas, who is that guy that is going to be his replacement this season? Who's going to fill in for him when he goes down or they move him inside?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it just depends on how Nate Wiggins does. I mean, you know, if you are looking for a replacement in the slot, you know, depending on where Arthur Mollett falls on the depth chart, he could obviously stick in there. I think he got a really nice, you know, 2023, obviously, but then a really nice offseason as well. Nate Wiggins, I'm kind of waiting to pump the brakes on just how hyped Ravens fans should be for him, because I think defending, you know, big, strong wide receivers in shells is a whole lot different than, you know, defending them in pads. So we'll see how that looks. You know, Jalen Armour Davis hasn't really had a whole lot of run as a first-string guy because he's been more useful on special teams and because they've had the depth to throw guys like Ronald Darby out in front of him. And obviously the injuries have been a big risk. So for as many concerns there are about Marlon Humphrey holding up for a 17-game season, I do think the Ravens are well-positioned there. And I mean, I guess if you're going based on talent alone, it's probably Nate Wiggins. If you're asking him to play on the outside there and just run with some of the thoroughbreds in the AFC North and on this Ravens schedule at large. But I'm really excited to see this cornerback run because it is a deep group that can go a lot of ways.
Now, like TJ Tampa, I mean, could he play that safety? Because what I see from Tampa, Jonas, is the only thing I see negative is the deep speed, you know, the catch-up speed, because it showed up at the minicamp too, I thought. But he has got such great instincts and ball skills and those types of things, you know, playing inside, playing in zone, and possibly being that third safety too. I could see him being able to do that. How about you?
Yeah, I guess did he have any snaps at safety at Iowa State, or was he just strictly an outside cornerback? I'm just wondering if he has any kind of.
He was in the slot and stuff too, you know. So that's why I'm saying, you know, where he can be protected.
Right. I totally get that, and I think that is something that we probably should have asked, you know, Eric DaCosta about when we were going through the guys. Just, you know, you don't want to write these guys death notice right away. Where because the guy has 4.6 speed, you know, he's not going to make it as an outside cornerback in the NFL. But I do think that was an interesting consideration that other people have brought up. Where, you know, if this guy doesn't have, you know, Brandon Stevens speed, does that mean that you maybe move him to safety? So it'll be interesting. I mean, him having that limited foot speed isn't really a death knell. I don't think. You know, it was interesting to see Kamari Laster, who also is a 4.6 guy, you know, doing really well in training camp. I think, where is he, with the Lions or someone like that? So I do think that TJ Tampa needs a better showing in training camp than what he had in minicamp. You know, he can't be known as the guy who gives up deep balls to rookie Devontae Walker. I mean, obviously, 4.3 speed is 4.3 speed, but you got to know how to defend a guy like that, especially who's a guy who doesn't really have a whole lot of other ways to win at this point in his NFL development. So, you know, we'll see where he is. He was kind of low on my unofficial depth chart because of what we saw him give up during training camp. But, you know, we don't know where he is with the installs. We don't know what kind of coverages he was exposed to. And I'm sure that, you know, with a defense that blitzes as little as the Ravens does, if you're dropping, you know, 6-7 guys in the coverage every time, you feel like you'll be pretty protected in zone against some of those deep shots.
Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner, joins us every Friday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Will close with this question. Cannon Anthony in Cleveland asked me this one a couple of weeks back. As we head into 2024 season, Jonas Schaefer, what's the best rivalry in the AFC North right now? I said Ravens Steelers, by the way, for the record.
Ooh. That's a tough one. I kind of get my juices up for Ravens Bengals. Just I don't think there is really any bad blood between a lot of those teams, frankly, which is a little bit disappointing. I would almost put Ravens Browns ahead of Ravens Steelers at this point too, just because we've seen, you know, some of the nastiness that Roquan Smith has brought with some of those comments, and the Browns play defenders not having a whole lot of love for, you know, the remarks about what he said, like the Ravens going in and beating these guys up in front of their families, in front of their wives and stuff like that. So to me, that had the most juice last year. I know, you know, the Ravens Steelers series has kind of just been neutered by Lamar not being that healthy and the games not always being that entertaining or that fun to talk about in the post game. So for me, that would probably be third, but again, it's not like the old days as much as I would like it to be. There's just not as much good old-fashioned hate as there used to be.
He is Jonas Schaefer. What's happening at Baltimore Banner on this Friday?
Yeah, like I said, Gianna Hahn had a really nice feature on Baltimore's own, Deontay Hardy, and I would encourage everyone to check that out. And then next week, we got the top 20 Ravens by my unofficial stupid rankings of who's going to be the most important guy on this team coming out. So look for the 11 to 20 on Monday, and then the top 10 sometime later in the week.
Jonas Schaefer, always appreciate the time. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Thanks, Jonas.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Jonas Schaefer, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, whip around what happened in the world of sports yesterday, what's ahead this weekend. We'll get into all of that. Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer, talk about the Birds in Oakland for the final time as the A's are moving to Las Vegas as he came up through the A's organization. But most importantly, the Orioles trying to get back in the win column after dropping a tough finale to Seattle, even though they did win the series, let's stress. And as we sit here on July 5th, there are two games in front. American League East.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Vinny at 81.057 The Fan, time for the whip around here on this Featured Artist Friday. At his heart, anything you want to hear from the Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, send your request. Plus, for text line 410-583-1057. Last week, we talked about Maryland football getting a commitment from Malik Washington out of Archbishop Spalding, four-star dropback quarterback.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, over the weekend... couple of days ago, I keep thinking today's Monday. It's driving me insane. And when it is Monday, I'm going to be mad at it's Monday. No. Today's Friday, Bob. Wake up. But within the last day or so, Mike Locksley and his crew got a commitment from three-star out of Texas quarterback Jackson Hamilton, whose dad is Pep Hamilton, who has a relationship with Mike Locksley going way back. So second quarterback commitment of the class of 2025, 6 foot, buck 88, dual threat kind of guy.
I'm guessing maybe position change, Bob?
Perhaps. Developmental player for sure, but Malik Washington's going to be the dude here.
Right. I mean, Bob, I love, you know, he's an option type quarterback, I'm guessing, so those are the best. I used to love to recruit. I'd have taken 10 of those. Why? Because they can play receiver, they can play DB. They're just good athletes to have that can run.
Now, NBA news, free agency has been happening, and it's been fast and furious. But LeBron James has decided to stick around for two more years with the Lakers. If you guys, I don't know if you talked about it on Wednesday, for over $100 million. Bronny got a four-year deal worth $7 million+, which is unheard of for a second-round draft pick.
No doubt. And, yeah, he'll play on the G League team probably. Well, it all depends on how he does this summer, but he's going to be on a G League team. And I don't know, you think, Bob, by the end of the year that he gets some run so LeBron can play with him a little bit?
I'm guessing that is an absolute certainty.
Yeah.
Maybe at the expense of more deserving. Look, I didn't watch a ton of USC basketball this year. I'm not going to sit here and lie. But yeah, I might have seen like a minute of them like changing to another game. But I don't know if he's got the chops for the NBA. Bloodline says he does. He was a ballyhooed prospect coming out of high school. A lot of charges of nepotism here. And then the argument to that is Antetokounmpo's brother been waving a towel in Milwaukee for a couple of years. Yeah. So it is what it is. And, you know, I got no dog in the fight. It'll be interesting to watch this all unfold. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Whip around Francis Tiafoe right now. Fourth set, he's up 2-1 over Carlos Alcaraz at Wimbledon. In the fourth set, Alcaraz trying to stay alive. He is up 4-3. They're on serve, it looks like, here out there at Wimbledon. As the local kid, Francis Tiafoe, big Terps fan, by the way, is trying to pull the stunner against the French Open champion. Nolan, would you know the answer to this? Because I apologize, I don't. Did Alcaraz win Wimbledon last year?
Can look it up here.
I think he's won the French was like his third major championship. I'm not for sure.
I don't watch tennis like I used to. Like 10, 15, or like when we were...
Yeah, 30 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, he won last year.
He did win. So there you go. Defending champion is Tiafoe trying to pull the stunner. And that will whip around video at 80. 105.7 The Fan. This day in sports history. Today's July 5th. Speaking of Wimbledon, now this I remember. 1980, Bjorn Borg, five sets over John McEnroe. One of the most epic Wimbledon finals of all time. That was breakfast with Wimbledon.
Yes.
Dick Enberg and Bud Collins and wooden rackets and all of that good stuff. Borg wins. That would be his fifth straight Wimbledon championship as he dominated there on the grass. 1992, Wimbledon, Andre Agassi won his first ever Grand Slam title. Because at this point, he was considered the underachiever, the loser. All style, no substance. Beat Goran Ivanišević with the big 150-mile-an-hour save in five sets. And this is also an infamous day in Bobster history. This is the day I hurt my back playing drunk tennis down in Ocean City. My back's never been the same.
Really?
Swear to God. I don't lie. Oriole history, 1970, Memorial Stadium, Boot Powell, two ribbies as the Orioles beat the Tigers, 2-0, Jim Palmer, three-hit shutout, 12th win of the year, 2016 in L.A. against the Dodgers. Manny Machado hit a three-run homer. Chris Tillman, remember how good he was? He's like the forgotten guy.
He was awesome.
Of that, he hurt his shoulder and he was done. I think he hurt his shoulder that year. But he was strong this day, seven innings pitched for his 11th win of the season. 2022, Oriole Park Cannon Yards. Orioles stunned the Texas Rangers 10-9. Ryan McKenna, Rougned Odor hit homers. Rougies tied the game in the ninth inning. And then Cedric Mullins got the game-winning double as he went 3-for-4, three ribbies. Joey Crable, Nolan, got the win. A lot of guys who were good in 22 in the bullpen. And we kind of forget who they are now, and he's one of those guys. But a year ago today, Yankee Stadium, it's always cool kicking the Yankees' ass. This happened.
Doesn't matter. O'Hearn, laser beam, and gone! He snuck it over the short porch, and Ryan O'Hearn adds two more in the ninth.
Ryan O'Hearn, two-run jack. Westberg had two ribbies. Man bun, Dean Kramer, seven strong. Got 10 Ks. Felix Bautista's 23rd save as the Orioles beat the Yankees 6-3 as they charged into the All-Star break, breathing down the necks of the Tampa Bay Rays. Coming into this year's All-Star break, Orioles are two up. We're going to talk about that next with Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick. And the finale for them in Oakland, where Mike grew up as a major league ball player. Funhouse Nolan McGraw, and that news from the Nets. Vinny's going to break down some stuff relating to your Baltimore Ravens, 8 days away from rookies reporting. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, featured artist Friday. It's Heart, chosen by you, the people. Anything you want to hear from the Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, send your song request to the Plaza Sports text line at 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Orioles in Oakland tonight for the final time, taking on the A's. Baltimore baseball tonight brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Tim Barbalace and our next guest on the mic there at 6, getting you ready for this one. He's Oriole Hall of Famer and our friend and yours. He's Mike Bordick. Bordy, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Bob. How's it going, man?
It's going all right. And, you know, with some sort of melancholy, I guess, we talk about the A's. Last time the Orioles were there, and you and I are around the same age, and as a kid, next to the Orioles, the A's were my second favorite team with Reggie and Vida Blue and Catfish, et cetera, et cetera. You came up through the A's organization. You played against them with the Orioles and the Blue Jays, obviously. So, Orioles, Oakland, in Oakland for the final time. What kind of emotions going through you right now?
Oh, man, I don't know. I guess it's a little bit mixed, to be honest with you. I know it's sad because there is a pretty good history out there in Oakland. They had a couple nice runs, right, with some great dynasties, those teams of the 70s that you mentioned. And the team that I came up with, they went to the World Series 88, 89, and 90. So, you know, I think there are some really good baseball fans out there on the West Coast, especially up there in the Oakland area, that appreciate what the Oakland A's brought to that area. I think an interesting brand of baseball. They certainly have a very unique history with their owners and Chuck Finley and some of the players that they rolled through there. So I think you try to appreciate that part of it, and you hope that everything works out for the A's in their next home. But as far as going in there as now the Baltimore Orioles, the best team in baseball, it's got to be a sweep, right? Don't you think you got to sweep the Oakland A's and let them go on their way? Because, you know, statistically, they're one of the worst teams in baseball. And I think the Orioles finished strong on this last West Coast trip.
Yeah, they did just sweep the Angels. But, you know, the Angels aren't all that great. But it is what it is. And the A's aren't as bad at home as they are on the road. But let's look back at the Seattle series where the Orioles do win 2 out of 3. Always frustrating to get the sweep, to not get it, especially when your ace is on the hill. What were your biggest takeaways, Mike, from the 3 games against the Mariners? A first-place team, by the way.
Yeah, no. The Mariners, listen, they've got really good pitching that's kept their heads above water the whole way. Obviously, no secret now that it's their offense that has just been sputtering along the first half of the season and doing just enough, I think, to keep them in first place in the American League West. A little surprised that the Orioles didn't do more damage, even though they did win, you know, the first couple games. But, you know, tip your hat to their pitching. I guess the only thing that really stood out was just a little bit of a lack of depth in the bullpen the last night, right? You bring Baker in there, and you hope he can kind of hold things the way they are. A couple walks obviously hurt him. And then Keegan Aiken, I think sometimes in those situations, I might rather see him come in on a clean slate, a clean inning, and then eat up 2 or 3 innings if he can. That's a tough call for him to come in, and he falls right behind. So he's got to throw a strike. And finally, I guess the Mariners came up with a hit in runners in scoring position. And they didn't really stop on Aiken. They put a 5 spot up on him. So I thought overall, I think the Orioles played really well. Like I said, it's not easy to go on the West Coast and win, especially against a first-place team like the Mariners. And now, hopefully they can clean things up with the A's.
Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bordy and Tim Barbalace tonight. BBT brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. 6 o'clock, getting ready for that series opener with Suarez against Harris out there in Oakland. Let's look back a couple of days ago, though, Mike. Dean Kramer comes back, goes 5 scoreless, only 2 hits, 2 walks, 8 Ks. How impressive was he at his first start, and it seemed like forever?
Oh, no, it was forever. It really was. It was May 20th was his last start, and that wasn't really that good. And then his rehab starts weren't that good either. So you didn't know really what to expect on that Saturday start. But, man, I think everybody breathed a sigh of relief. I mean, getting into the middle part of that ball game, pitched really well with his fastball, He likes his cutter right now, so that was working too. I think that was a huge confidence boost, not only for the Orioles rotation, the front office. Brandon Hyde certainly felt better about that. But all fans, you know, say, okay, because we're panicking a little bit, thinking, we need an extra starter, we need an extra bullpen piece. And, man, if Dean Kramer can come back and make us feel a little bit better, that would be a good thing. And he did, man, just to add one more arm, a quality arm, to that Oriole rotation.
Hey, Bordy, how about the way Santander's been playing defense, especially this past series?
Yeah, Vinny, he really is a total player right now. I mean, I guess other than hitting for average maybe, and his on-base percentage might be a tick down, but he comes up with more clutch hit and clutch at bats than you'd ever want to see. And defensively, it's like every night I'm going, are you serious right now? Because after he was like a qualifier for the Gold Glove a couple years ago, I'm not saying he tapered off, but he just doesn't have that electricity, that explosiveness maybe as a Cedric Mullins or an Austin Hayes. But man, oh man, can he make incredible plays. A beautiful diving play on that ball coming in last night. He's made some great throws. He's always hustling. I just think as a player gets older and they're able to stay healthy, just their pursuit angles get a lot better. Their footwork gets better with that first step quickness. And he's on right now. He's really making a great first step. And his lines to the ball are really nice.
Now, Bordy, when you were watching first at bat yesterday with Gunner, talk me through, like, when you're coming to second base, you're Henderson, what are you looking at? And does he have to look at the third base coach or not?
Well, no, I don't think he does, to be honest with you. You know, I think a third base coach is out there for some reason, you lose track of the ball, or unless it's down that, you know, right field line. But for the most part, every base runner has the ball in front of them. And that's really the name of the game. And I love the fact you trust your instincts. I think he got maybe a little over-aggressive there, you know, because you don't want to make that out at third base. But listen, Gunnar Henderson is playing like one of the best best players in baseball right now. And if he feels like he can make it, then you kind of trust his instincts. It ended up being a bang-bang play. I'll tell you what, I don't think a lot of opposing players realize how fast he actually is on a baseball field. I mean, he gets it. I mean, he really does. He runs the bases probably as well as anybody in the game. He's fast. He takes those chances that I think are pretty natural and instinctive for him. And I don't think Brandon Hyde or anybody else ever wants him to pull the reins back. Let this wild stallion go, man, and let him do what he feels on the baseball field, because it just seems so natural and instinctive. I love it, and I'm not going to knock him for that kind of stuff.
Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick, Vinny, and Andy, 105.7 The Fan. Last thing for you, Bordy. Cole Irvin goes to the bullpen. Albert Suarez maintains his rotation spot. It's going up against the A's tonight. Are we confident that Albert Suarez will give the Orioles a quality performance on a Friday night in Oakland?
Well, he's been pitching pretty well. You know, I like his numbers. I like how he throws the ball. I think he can surprise a lot of teams. And, you know, the hope I think with Suarez, too, is to just try to get to the middle part of the ball game. I think Cole Irvin getting out there in the bullpen is a smart thing, obviously, right now. And I think it might do well for both parties, right? I think it might help stabilize Irvin to where he could possibly be called on and trusted to make a spot start, because I think they're going to probably need him to do that here in the next couple months. And I think Suarez has shown that consistency, you know, to be a trusted starter. So I like how it's kind of played out.
He is Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick tonight, 6:00. Him and Tim Barbalay is getting you ready for Game 1, Baltimore at Oakland. Orioles 2 games up in the American League's Eastern Division. Bordy, always great to talk to you. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you next Thursday, I guess.
All right. Sounds good, Bob. Sounds good, Vinny.
Thanks,
you guys,
Bordy.
Have a great weekend.
You too,
right,
man.
Here's Mike Bordick again. I keep thinking it's Monday. It's Vinny at 81.057 The Fan, but luckily it's Friday. Funhouse coming up next. Nolan, news from the Nets. Got some Ravens coming your way. Buy or sell. Where's our weekend money? 12:15. Hopefully we're counting it then. And then longtime NFL writer Howard Balzer talks some National Football League fun with him around 12:30. Vinny at 81.057 The Fan. Featured artist Friday. It's Hart. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. You want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. Got news from the Nest coming up here in a couple of minutes. Vinny, what are we going to have for the people here, Ravens related?
Yeah, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the projected starting lineup for the defense, how they line up, how many games they played last year, what kind of production they had last year, and we'll talk about the guys that will be replacing the ones that won't be there. So, yeah, we've got some interesting stuff to talk about because we always talk about the offense.
Yeah, and there are a couple of fancy names no longer part of this Ravens defense of 2023. So high expectations or concerns for the replacements, which we'll get into. And we'll talk more NFL. Howard Balzer, National Football League, longtime NFL writer at 1230. But let's bring Nolan in. Quick draw, how are you feeling today?
Feeling pretty good. But when it comes to the Orioles here, I feel like this series is a good representation of how you feel about the team overall. They win 2 out of 3, right? So that's good enough. That's not just staying afloat. I mean, that's having success in the regular season. They continue to do that. They're a team that's built with their roster construction to succeed in the regular season and, quite frankly, dominate in the regular season. They're always going to take 2 out of 3, it seems, and have a good chance to sweep. But then when they do lose, the manner in which they lose brings in that doubt for when the postseason does come around. And in the postseason, it's not about 162. It's only about 3 or 5 or 7. And that's where things get a little shaky, where your weaknesses are your bullpen. Defense at times, it seems like when somebody commits an error, it starts to snowball and all of a sudden they got 3 in the same game, or, you know, one series is a nightmare defensively and then they go back to normal. That's what concerns me, and it's always going to be about the postseason. We enjoy the ride in the regular season. I'm not looking ahead by any means. I'm happy with the present, but the way the team's judged is going to be on the postseason. So how do they remedy that? How do they make moves? We're all expecting some sort of trade, multiple trades at that, to fix the bullpen, because guys like Keegan Aiken, Brian Baker, when they're good, you're hoping that it lasts forever, but you know in the back of your head it's not. So how do you properly replace them?
Well, here's what I would do. Not that anybody asked, especially in the warehouse. You acquire another starting pitcher. Suarez moves to the bullpen. He bolsters you there with the right hand. Maybe he becomes Cano, that sort of guy. Maybe close a game or two if need be. But it's funny. You know, 2 years ago, we're talking about the Orioles just being in the wild card. Now, as Nolan just said, who's never seen a world championship or seen a World Series in Baltimore, quite frankly, and it has been 41 years, by the way. We're talking Reagan's first term as president. How many presidents since then? I don't even want to do that math. I get it. But now the conversation about the Orioles in a short period of time, by the way, has gone from, hey, man, they're a team on the rise, to, hey, it's World Series or bust. A lot of very Ravens-like in similarities. Now, if the Orioles get to the ALCS and lose, would that be acceptable? Because for the Ravens, if they don't win the Super Bowl, they screw you.
Yep.
You've been in the playoffs. You won your division. Your quarterback's won 2 MVP. We've been there.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
5881057, The Fan, Featured Artist Friday. It's Heart. Chosen by you, the people. Anything you want to hear from the Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, send your song request to the Plaza Support Text line at 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Orioles in Oakland tonight for the final time, taking on the A's. Baltimore baseball tonight brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Tim Barbalays and our next guest on the mic there at 6, getting you ready for this one. He's Oriole Hall of Famer and our friend and yours. He's Mike Bordick. Bordy, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Bob. How's it going, man?
It's going all right. And, you know, with some sort of melancholy, I guess, we talk about the A's. Last time the Orioles were there, and you and I are around the same age, and as a kid, next to the Orioles, the A's were my second favorite team with Reggie and Vida Blue and Catfish, et cetera, et cetera. You came up through the A's organization. You played against them with the Orioles and the Blue Jays, obviously. So, Orioles, Oakland, in Oakland for the final time. What kind of emotions going through you right now?
Oh, man, I don't know. I guess it's a little bit mixed, to be honest with you. I know it's sad because there is a pretty good history out there in Oakland. They had a couple nice runs, right, with some great dynasties, those teams of the 70s that you mentioned, and the team that I came up with. They went to the World Series 88, 89, and 90. So, you know, I think there are some really good baseball fans out there on the West Coast, especially up there in the Oakland area, that appreciate what the Oakland A's brought to that area. I think an interesting brand of baseball. They certainly have a very unique history with their owners and Chuck Finley and some of the players that they rolled through there. So I think you try to appreciate that part of it, and you hope that everything works out for the A's in their next home. But as far as going in there as now the Baltimore Orioles, the best team in baseball, it's got to be a sweep, right? Don't you think you got to sweep the Oakland A's and let them go on their way? Because, you know, statistically, they're one of the worst teams in baseball. And I think the Orioles finished strong on this last West Coast trip.
Yeah, they did just sweep the Angels. But, you know, the Angels aren't all that great. But it is what it is. And the A's aren't as bad at home as they are on the road. But let's look back at the Seattle series where the Orioles do win 2 out of 3. Always frustrating to get the sweep, to not get it, especially when your ace is on the hill. What were your biggest takeaways, Mike, from the 3 games against the Mariners? A first-place team, by the way.
Yeah, no. The Mariners, listen, they've got really good pitching that's kept their heads above water the whole way. Obviously, no secret now that it's their offense that has just been sputtering along the first half of the season and doing just enough, I think, to keep them in first place in the American League West. A little surprised that the Orioles didn't do more damage, even though they did win, you know, the first couple games. But, you know, tip your hat to their pitching. I guess the only thing that really stood out was just a little bit of a lack of depth in the bullpen the last night, right? You bring Baker in there, and you hope he can kind of hold things the way they are. A couple walks obviously hurt him. And then Keegan Aiken, I think sometimes in those situations, I might rather see him come in on a clean slate, a clean inning, and then eat up 2 or 3 innings if he can. That's a tough call for him to come in, and he falls right behind. So he's got to throw a strike. And finally, I guess the Mariners came up with a hit and runner in scoring position. And they didn't really stop on Aiken. They put a five spot up on him. So I thought overall, I think the Orioles played really well. Like I said, it's not easy to go on the West Coast and win, especially against a first place team like the Mariners. And now hopefully they can clean things up with the A's.
Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bordy and Tim Barbalace tonight. BBT brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. 6 o'clock, getting ready for that series opener with Suarez against Harris out there in Oakland. Let's look back a couple of days ago, though, Mike. Dean Kramer comes back, goes 5 scoreless, only 2 hits, 2 walks, 8 Ks. How impressive was he at his first start? And it seemed like forever.
Oh, no, it was forever. It really was. It was May 20th was his last start, and that wasn't really that good. And then his rehab starts weren't that good either. So you didn't know really what to expect on that Saturday start. But, man, I think everybody breathed a sigh of relief. I mean, getting into the middle part of that ball game, pitched really well with his fastball. He likes his cutter right now, so that was working too. I think that was a huge confidence boost, not only for the Orioles rotation, the front office. Brandon Hyde certainly felt better about that. But all fans, you know, say, okay, because we're panicking a little bit, thinking, need an extra starter, we need an extra bullpen piece. And, man, if Dean Kramer can come back and make us feel a little bit better, that would be a good thing. And he did, man, just to add one more arm, a quality arm, to that Oriole rotation.
Hey, Bordy, how about the way Santander's been playing defense, especially this past series?
Yeah, Vinny, he really is a total player right now. I mean, I guess other than hitting for average maybe, and his on-base percentage might be a tick down, but he comes up with more clutch hit and clutch at bats than you'd ever want to see. And defensively, it's like every night I'm going, are you serious right now? Because after he was like a qualifier for the Gold Glove a couple years ago, I'm not saying he tapered off, but he just doesn't have that electricity, that explosiveness maybe as a Cedric Mullins or an Austin Hayes. But man, oh man, can he make incredible plays. A beautiful diving play on that ball coming in last night. He's made some great throws. He's always hustling. I just think as a player gets older and they're able to stay healthy, just their pursuit angles get a lot better. Their footwork gets better with that first step quickness. And he's on right now. He's really making a great first step. And his lines to the ball are really nice.
Now, Bordy, when you were watching first at bat yesterday with Gunner, talk me through, like, when you're coming to second base, you're Henderson, what are you looking at? And does he have to look at the third base coach or not?
Well, no, I don't think he does, to be honest with you. I think a third base coach is out there for some reason. You lose track of the ball, or unless it's down that, you know, right field line. But for the most part, every base runner has the ball in front of them. And that's really the name of the game. And I love the fact you trust your instincts. I think he got maybe a little over aggressive there, you know, because you don't want to make that out at third base. But listen, Gunnar Henderson is playing like one of the best players in baseball right now. And if he feels like he can make it, then you kind of trust his instincts. It ended up being a bang-bang play. I'll tell you what, I don't think a lot of opposing players realize how fast he actually is on a baseball field. I mean, he gets it. I mean, he really does. He runs the bases probably as well as anybody in the game. He's fast. He takes those chances that I think are pretty natural and instinctive for him. And I don't think Brandon Hyde or anybody else ever wants him to pull the reins back. Let this wild stallion go, man, and let him do what he feels on the baseball field, because it just seems so natural and instinctive. I love it, and I'm not going to knock him for that kind of stuff.
Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick, Vinny and Andy, 105.7 The Fan. Last thing for you, Bordy. Cole Irvin goes to the bullpen. Albert Suarez maintains his rotation spot. It's going up against the A's tonight. Are we confident that Albert Suarez will give the Orioles a quality performance on a Friday night in Oakland?
Well, he's been pitching pretty well. You know, I like his numbers. I like how he throws the ball. I think he can surprise a lot of teams. And, you know, the hope I think with Suarez, too, is to just try to get to the middle part of the ball game. I think Cole Irvin getting out there in the bullpen is is a smart thing, obviously, right now, and I think it might do well for both parties, right? I think it might help stabilize Irvin to where he could possibly be called on and trusted to make a spot start, because I think they're going to probably need him to do that here in the next couple months. And I think Suarez has shown that consistency, you know, to be a trusted starter. So I like how it's kind of played out.
He is Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick tonight, 6 o'clock. Him and Tim Barbalay is getting you ready for Game 1, Baltimore at Oakland. Orioles 2 games up in the American League's Eastern Division. Bordy, always great to talk to you. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you next Thursday, I guess.
All right. Sounds good, Bob. Sounds good, Vinny.
Thanks,
you guys,
Bordy.
Have a great weekend.
You too,
right,
man. Here's Mike Bordick again. I keep thinking it's Monday. It's 88-81-057, the Fan. But luckily, it's Friday. Funhouse coming up next. Nolan, news from the Nets. Got some Ravens coming your way. Buy or sell. Where's our weekend money? 12:15. Hopefully, we're counting it then. And then longtime NFL writer Howard Balzer talks some National Football League fun with him around 12:30. 88-81-057, the Fan. Featured artist Friday. It's Hart. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. You want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. Got news from the Nets coming up here in a couple of minutes. Vinny, what are we going to have for the people here, Ravens-related?
Yeah, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the projected starting lineup for the defense, how they line up, how many games they played last year, what kind of production they had last year, and we'll talk about the guys that we'll be replacing the ones that won't be there. So, yeah, we've got some interesting stuff to talk about, because we always talk about the offense.
Yeah, and there are a couple of fancy names no longer part of this Ravens defense of 2023. So high expectations or concerns for the replacements, which we'll get into. And we'll talk more NFL. Howard Balzer, National Football League longtime NFL writer, at 12:30. But let's bring Nolan in. Quick draw, how are you feeling today?
Feeling pretty good, but when it comes to the Orioles here, I feel like this series is a good representation of how you feel about the team overall. They win 2 out of 3, right? So that's good enough. That's not just staying afloat. I mean, that's having success in the regular season. They continue to do that. They're a team that's built with their roster construction to succeed in the regular season and, quite frankly, dominate in the regular season. They're always going to take 2 out of 3, it seems, and have a good chance to sweep. But then when they do lose, the manner in which they lose brings in that doubt for when the postseason does come around. And in the postseason, it's not about 162. It's only about 3 or 5 or 7. And that's where things get a little shaky, where your weaknesses are your bullpen. Defense at times, it seems like when somebody commits an error, it starts to snowball and all of a sudden they got 3 in the same game, or you know, one series is a nightmare defensively, and then they go back to normal. That's what concerns me, and it's always going to be about the postseason. We enjoy the ride in the regular season. I'm not looking ahead by any means. I'm happy with the present, but the way the team's judged is going to be on the postseason. So how do they remedy that? How do they make moves? We're all expecting some sort of trade, multiple trades at that, to fix the bullpen, because guys like Keegan Aiken, Brian Baker, when they're good, you're hoping that it lasts forever, but you know in the back of your head it's not. So how do you properly replace them?
Well, here's what I would do. Not that anybody asked, especially in the warehouse. You acquire another starting pitcher. Suarez moves to the bullpen. He bolsters you there with the right hand. Maybe he becomes Cano, that sort of guy. Maybe close a game or two if need be. But it's funny. You know, 2 years ago, we're talking about the Orioles just being in the wild card. Now, as Nolan just said, who's never seen a world championship or seen a World Series in Baltimore, quite frankly, and it has been 41 years, by the way, we're talking Reagan's first term as president. How many presidents since then? I don't even want to do that math. I get it, but now the conversation about the Orioles in a short period of time, by the way, has gone from, hey, man, they're a team on the rise, to, hey, it's World Series or bust. A lot of very Ravens-like in similarities. Now, if the Orioles get to the ALCS and lose, would that be acceptable? Because for the Ravens, if they don't win the Super Bowl, they screw you.
Yep.
You've been in the playoffs. You won your division. Your quarterback's won 2 MVP. We've been there. All of that stuff's been accomplished. That's the next step for them. But if the Orioles, like the Ravens were last year, if the Orioles are the favorites in the ALCS and they got home field advantage, and say Seattle, for instance, houses them in seven or six games because their pitching was on fire, I think it'll be a different outcome. Ravens losing Kansas City last year, maybe we're not as pissed. Nah, we would be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. But it's funny, and I think it's awesome that we're talking about the Orioles now, and rightfully so, in the same terms as the Ravens, where if you're not winning a championship, your season's become a disappointment.
And the other thing on Mondays, Ravens lose, fire Harbs. Orioles win two out of three, get rid of Hyder.
Yeah, we're crying about them not winning the third game, which, by the way, they should have. They
now, were
0-7 with runners.
What's your guys' opinion of Hyder?
I think he's an outstanding manager who took his lumps in a big, big way and now has navigated this team through those choppy waters into contention. Now, does the Hyder hook get a little annoying? Sure. But if Burns is gassed, you know, you're not going to send him out there and risk him. I thought 94 through 6, maybe give it another inning there, you know what I mean?
But even Burns said, I have an interview after, I pitched more than I thought I would.
Yeah, so he's even said in some of them instances, again, we're watching in real time, like, dude, let's go.
Yeah.
And instead, because, you know, Grayson went into the, he went through 6, Kramer went 5, Aiken gave up a run in that game, by the way. I don't know. I think we'll see Burns get deeper into games as we get deeper into the pennant race here.
Right. Him stopping it.
Oh, by the way, I am not. Yeah, no, do not misinterpret.
Sure.
Or yeah. I'm trying to crap on Corbin Burns here. But Hyder's got a better gauge of his team than we do here.
Let's right. And if Burns stays in yesterday, what's he get? Another out, maybe two outs into the seventh?
And it's still a tie game at the time.
Yeah.
So he's not even in line for a. Only thing he could have got would have been a loss, I guess, going out for
plus,
the second.
Plus, I would imagine that Hyder goes and asks Burns, and Burns says, hey, you know, I'm gassed.
Well, when he's got his towel and his soap, you figure he's done. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. News from the Nets. Got buy or sell, 12:15. Howard Balzer will be joining us, talks about NFL, longtime NFL writer. Funhouse trip with Nolan since we couldn't get to it this hour. NFL Lunch, American League East Report. At 1:15, Yankees got swept. Hey, we're sitting here whining about the Orioles winning 2 out of 3 against the team in first place on the road. What do you think the Yankees are feeling? They just got swept at home by a team that's a talented young team, but still a team below 500. Wah! Yankee Whamulance, wah! Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, featured artist Friday. It's Hart, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. You want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. Got news from the Nets coming up here in a couple of minutes. Vinny, what are we going to have for the people here, Ravens-related?
Yeah, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the projected starting lineup for the defense, how they line up, how many games they played last year, what kind of production they had last year, and we'll talk about the guys that will be replacing the ones that won't be there. So, yeah, we've got some interesting stuff to talk about. Because we always talk about the offense.
Yeah, and there are a couple of fancy names no longer part of this Ravens defense of 2023. So high expectations or concerns for the replacements, which we'll get into. And we'll talk more NFL. Howard Balzer, National Football League longtime NFL writer at 12:30. But let's bring Nolan in. Quick draw, how are you feeling today?
Feeling pretty good, but when it comes to the Orioles here, I feel like this series is a good representation of how you feel about the team overall. They win 2 out of 3, right? So that's good enough. That's not just staying afloat. I mean, that's having success in the regular season. They continue to do that. They're a team that's built with their roster construction to succeed in the regular season and, quite frankly, dominate in the regular season. They're always going to take 2 out of 3, it seems, and have a good chance to sweep. But then when they do lose, the manner in which they lose brings in that doubt for when the postseason does come around. And in the postseason, it's not about 162. It's only about 3 or 5 or 7. And that's where things get a little shaky, where your weaknesses are your bullpen. Defense at times, it seems like when somebody commits an error, it starts to snowball and all of a sudden they got 3 in the same game, or, you know, one series is a nightmare defensively and then they go back to normal. That's what concerns me, and it's always going to be about the postseason. We enjoy the ride in the regular season. I'm not looking ahead by any means. I'm happy with the present, but the way the team's judged is going to be on the postseason. So how do they remedy that? How do they make moves? We're all expecting some sort of trade, multiple trades at that, to fix the bullpen, because guys like Keegan Aiken, Brian Baker, when they're good, you're hoping that it lasts forever, but you know in the back of your head it's not. So how do you properly replace them?
Well, here's what I would do. Not that anybody asked, especially in the warehouse. You acquire another starting pitcher. Suarez moves to the bullpen. He bolsters you there with the right hand. Maybe he becomes Cano, that sort of guy. Maybe close a game or two if need be. But it's funny. You know, 2 years ago, we're talking about the Orioles just being in the wild card. Now, as Nolan just said, who's never seen a world championship or seen a World Series in Baltimore, quite frankly, and it has been 41 years, by the way. We're talking Reagan's first term as president. How many presidents since then? I don't even want to do that math. I get it. But now the conversation about the Orioles in a short period of time, by the way, has gone from, hey, man, they're a team on the rise, to, hey, it's World Series or bust. A lot of very Ravens-like in similarities. Now, if the Orioles get to the ALCS and lose, would that be acceptable? Because for the Ravens, if they don't win the Super Bowl, they screw you.
Yep.
You've been in the playoffs. You won your division. Your quarterback's won two MVP. We've been there. All of that stuff's been accomplished. That's the next step for them. But if the Orioles, like the Ravens were last year, if the Orioles are the favorites in the ALCS and they got home field advantage in, say, Seattle, for instance, houses them in seven or six games because their pitching is on fire, I think it'll be a different outcome. Ravens losing Kansas City last year, maybe we're not as pissed. Nah, we would be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. But it's funny, and I think it's awesome that we're talking about the Orioles now, and rightfully so, in the same terms as the Ravens, where if you're not winning a championship, your season's become a disappointment.
And the other thing on Mondays, Ravens lose, fire Harbs. Orioles win two out of three, get rid of Hyder.
Yeah, we're crying about them not winning the third game, which, by the way, they should have. They
now, were
0-7 with runners.
What's your guys' opinion of Hyder?
I think he's an outstanding manager who took his lumps in a big, big way and now has navigated this team through those choppy waters into contention. Now, does the Hyder hook get a little annoying? Sure. But if Burns is gassed, you know, you're not going to send him out there and risk him. I thought 94 through 6, maybe give it another inning there, you know what I mean?
But even Burns said, I have interview after, I pitched more than I thought I would.
Yeah, so he's even said in some of them instances, again, we're watching in real time, like, dude, let's go.
Yeah.
And instead, because, you know, Grayson went into he went through 6, Kramer went 5, Aiken gave up a run in that game, by the way. I don't know. I think we'll see Burns get deeper into games as we get deeper into the pennant race here.
Right. Him stopping it.
Oh, by the way, I am not. Yeah, no, do not misinterpret.
Sure.
I'm trying to crap on Corbin Burns here. But Hyder's got a better gauge of his team than we do here.
Let's right. And if Burns stays in yesterday, what's he get? Another out, maybe two outs into the seventh?
And it's still a tie game at the time.
Yeah.
So he's not even in line for a. Only thing he could have got would have been a loss, I guess, going out for
plus,
the seventh.
I would imagine that Hyder goes and asks Burns, and Burns says, hey, you know, I'm gassed.
Well, when he's got his towel and his soap, you figure he's done. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. News from the Nets. Got buy or sell, 12:15. Howard Balzer will be joining us, talk some NFL, longtime NFL writer. Fun house trip with Nolan since we couldn't get to it this hour. NFL Lunch, American League East Report. At 1:15, Yankees got swept. Hey, we're sitting here whining about the Orioles winning 2 out of 3 against the team in first place on the road. What do you think the Yankees are feeling? They just got swept at home by a team that's a talented young team, but still a team below 500. Wah! Yankee whamulance, wah!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.